Let's begin tonight with the hymn 332, page 311. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, which so long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. 332. Let's all stand to sing. Together and seek the Lord in prayer for tonight's meeting. Our God and Father, we bow humbly and reverently before the throne of heavenly grace, We come to thee in the all-precious name of Jesus Christ. We thank thee that in his name there is power and authority. And thou hast told us that whatsoever we ask in his name, it shall be done. And so we plead nothing of ourselves, but we do plead Christ. And for his sake, we pray that thou wilt answer our cries tonight, that thou wilt look upon him. And for Jesus' sake, visit this congregation this evening and bless us as we meet here for this gospel service. We do rejoice in the gospel of Christ. We thank thee that in the message so proclaimed, there is authority also. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For many in this church building tonight, we have been brought to that place of faith in Christ. And we have believed to the saving of our souls. We thank thee for that moment when the grace of God sought us out and found us and drew us irresistibly to Christ, the Redeemer of men. We thank thee for the gifts of faith and repentance, that very moment when we were enabled by grace to turn from our sin and lay hold upon Christ as our Savior. We can say, O happy day that fixed our choice on thee, our Savior and our God. We praise thee also for the change that was wrought. And we've been singing about that marvelous change in our opening hymn. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. We know that your word teaches that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Lord, we thank thee for that grace that changed us inwardly and outwardly. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast justified us, and by your grace you are sanctifying us. And we thank thee that one day we will go home to glory, where we will know the full extent of what it is to be glorified when we see the Lord, when we meet with him and dwell with him forever. We thank thee for an open door in this road, where your word is proclaimed. And we praise thee for the liberty that we have coming to the house of God unhindered. We can meet here. We can sing together these hymns. We can have our time of preaching your word. No authorities are coming to shut down this building as yet. And Lord, we pray that we will never take such freedoms for granted. We look to the Lord to maintain our cause and to bless the preaching of the word, and in this very town to do marvelous works of grace. We know that there were cities in the days of Christ that were exalted to heaven like Capernaum, and they disregarded all the honors that were bestowed upon them by way of the gospel and the fact that Christ had been to that city and cities round about in Galilee. And they turned their back upon God and upon Christ the Savior. And Jesus spoke of how they were exalted to heaven and yet one day would be brought down to hell. We fear for our own town that such things might be written of Ballymoney. We think of the privilege of the gospel that this town has, for the many Christians who live in it, the witness that they make, and for those churches within the town who are true to thee, true to your word, and the preaching of the gospel. And in these ways, men and women are exalted to heaven with gospel privilege and knowledge and understanding. And yet, Lord, we think of the many that still refuse and reject Christ as Savior. One day they will be brought to hell if they repent not. Lord, therefore we plead for our town. We pray for a divine intervention in these days. Bless our gospel services. Bring the people in. As we look forward to special times of gospel preaching, even to September, and the mission that will soon be here, help us to prepare our own hearts and to prepare the ground for the preaching of the word. We pray that you'll break up the fallow ground, that you will do a work of real grace within our hearts as your people, and prepare us for such a concentrated time of gospel preaching. We pray that many will come in, including past pupils and teachers and others that have been associated with the school here in Ballymoney for decades, we ask thee in Jesus' name that when they get the invitation, that it will not be so easily disregarded, but it will be taken up and that they will be found beneath your word. And Lord, we pray for the saving of souls. Jesus will be passing this way. We ask thee that thou would bring sinners to Christ. Continue to bless this congregation and all its families, its members. We pray especially for the sick that are laid aside. We pray for those that sorrow, that thou will comfort them. We pray for those that are absent from us tonight, away on holiday or traveling at a distance. We ask the Lord tonight to be with them and bless those that are with us in sermon audio as they join us and be part of this service. May they know the blessing of God in their lives and the touch of heaven in their souls as they meet with us here. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Turning to the second hymn, 303, I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. 303 will stand as we worship God in this hymn. Amen. That was good singing, despite the fact that we are somewhat depleted in numbers tonight. And we're getting texts all day to say, well, we'll not be here, but we'll be listening in. It's good that our folks can get a wee holiday and trust the Lord will bless those that are not with us tonight. But you're here and we bid you welcome. Likewise, those that are tuned in tonight on Sermon Audio, a very warm word of welcome to you in the Savior's great name. For our own folks, we just want to remind you it's the Missionary Council envelopes and the School Covenant support that's due in today. And we want to meet for a few minutes after the meeting tonight for those that are able, going down to the Bible classroom just for 10 minutes or so as we think of the gospel mission that we hope to hold in the high school here in Ballymoney beginning on the 9th of September. Just a few things we want to say and maybe to hear from you as well as we plan towards this time of gospel preaching. Can I invite you to stay for supper? It'll be served after tonight's meeting. You're welcome to join us. We have a few visitors tonight. Do enjoy the hospitality that will be shown to you. We're glad to have you here. Then could I ask for prayer? The officers of the mission board have to travel for a week tomorrow to Uganda to deal with some needs over there, and we would ask you to pray that God will be with us and the Lord will help us and give us wisdom, returning a week later in the will of the Lord. Our brother Alex Bernabeu will be speaking at the Thursday night prayer meeting at 8 p.m. The Lord's Day begins with the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock, and then our services, the worship service and the gospel service, 12, noon and 7 p.m. The evening service is preceded by a time of prayer. Remember our brother Mervyn's story as he prepares himself for next week and preaches the word that the Lord will bring him here in the fullness of divine power and that he will know the help of the Spirit of God in the ministry of the word. Just to remind you that the next family night is the 5th of August. That will soon be upon us. Johnny Whiteside from Portavogie will be testifying. Charlotte Cahy from Portavogie will be singing. Looking forward to that night. In the morning time, we have a visit from the Deborah House. There are 42 visitors from Romania coming over on the 3rd. That's the Friday. And the first meeting that they have is here in Ballymoney with us. And we will be looking forward to hearing them sing. Little John will be here to sing. Lorena will be here to give a report on Deborah House. And Dr. Stanley Barnes will bring a message at the end of that service. They want to thank the congregation here sincerely for all the support that you give to them, both in a prayerful and a practical way. And the project that was done over the past few days, they really appreciate that facility that has been provided for the children of the home. I don't think I need to go through the other announcements. If you were not here this morning, there are a few announcement sheets available. Take them tonight with you and see what else is happening there. But we are asking special prayer for a little baby boy, Daniel Gibson, that was born in the past week, just a couple of days ago, and born 15 weeks prematurely. And he will need a lot of attention medically. And therefore, we ask the congregation to remember him before the throne of grace and the other prayer requests that are there on the announcement sheet. We will receive the offering for the work of God in this house as we sing together 97 in the hymn book. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men. My example is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. Praise God, one day he's coming. O glorious day. Number 97. Thank you. I stand to sing just the fourth verse, making it the final one. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. Last verse speaks about his coming, and you'll know that the hymn brings us through the whole plan of redemption with the one who left heaven to come into this world, born of a virgin, going to the cross of Calvary and rising again victoriously from the grave. And we thank God he's coming again to receive us to himself. With those great truths before us in the song, we will bow in prayer before we come to the reading of the scriptures tonight. Lord, we thank thee for bringing us through these thoughts in the hymn, reminding us of our dear Saviour who left the glory one day to come into this world and traverse this scene of time. We bless thee for the life that he lived, and for the culmination of his ministry at the cross when he gave himself in sacrifice for our sin. We know that he was led into the tomb, but on the third day he rose victoriously over the grave. He broke the power of death. And Lord, we thank thee for that period of time when he showed himself alive to his disciples. And then 40 days later, ascending into the glory again to take his rightful place beside his Father on the throne. All these centuries have passed by since these things happened. But Lord, we know that he's coming again. And the scripture proclaims it. We have exceeding precious promises with regard to the coming of Christ. Help us all to live in the light of that day, to labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun, and to talk of all his wondrous love and care. We come to your word now to read the scriptures. We come to the message that will be preached from this pulpit tonight. And Lord, we need thee, perhaps more than any other time in this meeting. We need thee. I need thee. I pray for spiritual power and wisdom sent from on high. Lord, I cannot do this without thee. I cannot preach with any kind of spiritual power and success unless the Lord gives divine enablement. And so, Lord, in my human weakness, with all the frailty of my mind and body, I come to thee for strength. I come to thee for power. I come indeed for wisdom. Lord, speak through this weak earthen vessel tonight. Speak to the hearts of your people. Remember any unconverted among us. Lord, speak to them especially. And for our dear friends that listen in on sermon audio, Lord, let there be a word for them, a powerful word. And even though they're not physically present in the service here tonight, Lord, may they feel the benefit of the word as they sit at their computer or their iPhone or whatever it might be. Lord, we ask thee that thou wilt speak with mighty power into many a heart. Very conscious at this time the gospel is going forth in other parts of Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom. And Father, we just pray for your blessing upon the word this evening, where it is preached with faithfulness. May Christ be seen, and may a work be done. May souls be gathered unto Christ, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Turning to Matthew chapter 11, and I want to read just the final three verses of the chapter. Earlier tonight, we were thinking about Capernaum that was exalted to heaven and brought down to hell. The Lord speaks about it in this very chapter, and other cities too that had great privileges in the gospel. But I want to come just to these final three verses of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through to 30. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." May God bless these words of the Savior, written for our learning in ancient times. Our text this evening is the words of verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is a good memory verse, isn't it? From Sunday school, children's meetings, it's one of the key verses that will be learned by our children coming up through the Sabbath school or the children's meetings. It's a good soul-winning verse. It has been used by the Lord many, many times to bring sinners unto Christ. It is short, it is simple, and it is straightforward, straight to the point. Jesus is the author of these precious, tender, appealing words. It is he himself who graciously invites the sinner to come unto him for spiritual rest and satisfaction. We often quote these powerful words of entreaty and exhortation in our sermons as we implore sinners to come to Christ. And I want to preach on this text this evening as the Lord enables me and gives me strength and power. The godly bishop J.C. Ryle spoke about the breadth and fullness of the invitations of Christ's gospel. He said the last three verses of the chapter, which contain this lesson, are indeed precious. They meet the trembling sinner who asks, "Will Christ receive his Father's love to such an one, or reveal his Father's love to such an one as me?" With the most gracious encouragement, they are verses which deserve to be read with special attention. For 1,800 years, they have been a blessing to the world and have done good to myriads of souls. There is not a sentence in them which does not contain a mine of thought. So said the godly bishop in his time. And the great C.H. Spurgeon said, "Perhaps no verse in the whole of Scripture has been handled in the pulpit more frequently than this. And yet it has not been exhausted and never can be. It is a great soul-saving text." Spurgeon preached 9 sermons on Matthew 11 and verse 28. It is my prayer as we set before you this evening this tender plea of Christ to troubled souls, that you will look to him for salvation. That you will come to him if you have not done so already. That you will trust in him. That you will flee to him with all haste. And that you will say, "O Lamb of God, I come." For Jesus says, "Come." May your response be, "I will come." There was a day when Charlotte Elliott yielded herself to Christ. And she came as a sinner to him. In early life, she had been lighthearted and careless. A godly Swiss preacher, Dr. Malin, a friend of her parents, came to stay at their home. When asked by the preacher if she was a Christian, Charlotte very abruptly told him to mind his own business. He did not reply to the rude rebuff, but Charlotte was evidently troubled in conscience. And one day, when Dr. Malin was strolling in the garden, she approached him and apologized for her rudeness to him and said, "I should like to come to Christ, but I don't know how." "Come just as you are," was his immediate reply. "With your fightings and fears, hates and loves, jealousies and your quick temper, your pride and shame." And so it was that Charlotte Elliott accepted Christ as her Savior. 13 years later, while feeling discouraged at her inability to help others because of her disability, Charlotte lifted her pen and she wrote the most beautiful words of that hymn that we love to sing, "Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." And so wrote these words based on Dr. Malin's words, "Come just as you are." Thank God for all those who have responded to Christ's gracious plea. And as I look down over the congregation tonight, I am very aware that many of you have come to the Savior, and we thank God for that. But there are those who have not responded as yet. They have not come. They have not received. May this be the night when you will hear the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." May you hear this word effectually and come. For Jesus says, "Come unto me." I want you to notice, first of all, the plain invitation that is given here by the Savior. And it's all encapsulated in the word "come." This is the gospel call. The whole gospel invitation can be summarized in one word: come. We are instructed and invited to come over and over again in the Scriptures. Come into the place of safety. The very first invitation given in the Scripture to come to the Lord, Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. It's the days of Noah. God has purposed to destroy the world by the flood. He has instructed his servant Noah to build the ark. The ark is completed, and now when it's finished, the Lord says, "Come thou into the ark, into the place of safety, where you will be sheltered from the divine wrath that is about to be poured upon this world." There is the "come" for personal cleansing. I love that verse in Isaiah 1, verse 18. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." There is the "come" for a satisfying portion. When you move on through Isaiah, you come to the 55th chapter and that opening verse. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." And praise God, when you come, you will be satisfied in Christ. There is that "come" at the king's urgent request. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 4, the story here that the Savior relates is about a certain king who makes a marriage for his son. He sends out his servants to call those that were bidden or invited to the wedding. And this is what we read in the 4th verse. "Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." What a picture is presented to us here in this gracious invitation. That blessed union that
we have with Christ. The great wedding that will be celebrated and consummated. And the Lord invites sinners to come that they may partake of this wonderful feast. Come unto the marriage. And then we have that come to the gospel feast. It's a very similar picture presented by the Savior over in the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 14 and verse 17. And the thought here is quite similar. A great supper has been made. The servant has been sent out to bid those to come. And the message is, come, for all things are now ready. When we think of the gospel, everything that is needed has been done. All that is required is provided. And so the Lord says, come, for everything is ready. And then we have that come to the heavenly kingdom prepared. Matthew 25, this great sermon that Jesus preached on the second coming, and it contains one of these gracious invitations. On that great day when we come to stand before the Lord, those who have come in this life to trust in the Redeemer, they will hear another come. And this time it is, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Here in our text tonight, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, we have this come for rest, rest for the soul. This invitation is given by Jesus Christ himself. As Lord of all, he holds out the golden scepter that we may touch the top of it and live. He is the only Savior. He is the physician. He is the advocate. He is the Redeemer, and he wants us to come. Now, what does it mean to come? Well, it means to leave your sin. When you come to Christ, you forsake your sin. You wave goodbye to the ways of the world, to walk in them nevermore. The scripture says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. To come means to believe on him. Jesus Christ asks, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Do you believe tonight? You come believing. Believing in who Jesus Christ claims to be, and believing in what he came to do. That's what it is to come, to leave your sin, to believe on him, and to look to him. In John chapter 3, the story of Nicodemus, as the Lord sets before him the new birth, he comes to the cross. He speaks about Moses lifting the serpent in the wilderness, and he says, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And the thought there is of the cross. And the Lord Jesus, at the end of his ministry, he's going to be lifted up upon the cross. He's drawing a parallel between what happened in the Old Testament when the brazen serpent was lifted in the midst of the camp, and the people are called upon to look to the brazen serpent that they might live. And Jesus is clearly saying to Nicodemus, there's coming a day when I'm going to be lifted up upon the cross, and you need to look to me for salvation. My dear friends, that's what it is to come to Christ, to look away from yourself, to look away from your sin, and to fix your eye upon Jesus Christ, who has accomplished eternal redemption when he died there upon the cross of Calvary. The invitation is plain. It's easy to understand. Have you come, my friend? Have you responded to the gospel call? Have you obeyed this entreaty? Jesus says, come. But not only is there the plain invitation, there is the precious specification. For Jesus says, come unto me. Christ does not say come without giving direction where to come. It is specified here in the word me. We are directed to Christ, not to the church, not to the sacraments, not to baptism, not to the communion feast, not to the rites and the rituals of any church, not to a denomination, not to a minister, to priests or popes, not to creeds or church confessions, not to ordinances or disciplines. It is to Christ. Christ alone. He has all the sinner wants. And he implores you in love and grace to come unto me. He would say, I came into this world for you. I lived a perfect life on this earth for you. I kept the broken law on your behalf. I went to the cross of Calvary where I was crucified for your sin. I suffered and bled and died for you. I endured the eternal wrath of God on your behalf. I made a full and a perfect satisfaction for your sin. I met all the demands of divine justice. I turned away the holy and the righteous anger of God. I bore your sins on my body at the tree. I paid the debt in full. I opened the door into heaven itself. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I have done all this for you. You must come to Christ and him crucified. You must venture all upon his atoning sacrifice, for only Christ can save you. And then you'll notice in our text that there is the particular qualification. Mark the words with me, please. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. This text does not belong to every man. This invitation belongs to a particular people. Christ does not address himself to those who feel themselves to be righteous and to be worthy. No, it is an appeal to those that labor and are heavy laden. Is that you tonight? Do you feel a load of guilt in your heart? Do you sense a weight of sin weighing down upon your soul? Do you perceive a burden of anxiety over failure and departure from God laying upon your shoulders? John Bunyan shows us Christian and Pilgrim's Progress at the start of his journey with a great burden upon his back. He was weighed down by sin and was in great distress. Sleep fled from him. He spent the night in sighs and tears. He was in absolute misery, but evangelists pointed him in the right direction, pointed him to the cross, to Mount Calvary. And he gets to the cross, and it is there at the cross that the great burden rolls away. Oh, my friends, have you got to the cross? Has this great weight that's weighing you down, this weight of sin, been rolled away from your life? Are there any who are in this condition tonight? You labor and you're heavy laden. For only those that feel their burden of sin are invited. Only those that are sick of their sins and weary of serving the world and the flesh can come. And such was the experience of the prodigal, who had gone into the far country. And there in Luke chapter 17, we are informed that he came to himself. Right there in the midst of all his distress and adversity, heavy laden and burdened, he begins to think about the Father's house. And he purposes in his heart to go home. And to go home with a repentant heart to his Father, confessing his sin to him. Such was the experience of the publican. In Luke chapter 18, he would not even lift up his eyes toward heaven. But there in the temple, he hung his head in shame and he smote upon his breast and he cried out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He felt the load of sin. Yes, he could be described in such terms as the text describes that weary sinner, labor and heavy laden. Such was the experience of Peter's hearers on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Having listened to the preaching of Peter and the other apostles, they were greatly moved and troubled in their heart. The Bible says that they were pricked in their heart and so troubled of soul that they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You see, as the word of God went forth, they began to feel the weight of sin. Yes, they were laboring in their sin. They were heavy laden and cried out that day. Such was the experience of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus when the Lord appeared to him. And Christ stepped into his life and he was brought to his knees there on the Damascus road. And Saul of Tarsus, for the very first time in his life, he began to feel the weight of sin upon him. And he looked away to Christ. He came to the Savior. Such was the experience of the Philippine jailer. After the great earthquake that took place that woke him, he came running in and fell down before Paul and Silas and cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" Yes, he felt his need. He felt that burden in his heart and cried out. This is the necessary preparation for pardon and peace. Oh, poor sinner, tonight are you laboring under the burdens of life? Are you laden with sin? Then Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And then you will notice in the fourth and final place tonight, the pleasant situation. Look at it with me. "I will give you rest." What a blessing to those who come. Christ is our Noah, whose name signifies rest. We think of that time when Noah was brought into the world, and we have his name mentioned in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 29, where his father Lamech called his name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And when you think of his name meaning rest, signifying rest, we think of the comfort of which his father speaks in this text. Truly, rest is good, especially to those that labor and are heavy laden. Unrest is one of the characteristics of the world. There's no rest to the wicked. The wicked are like the angry sea. They're tossed about in life. They do not know rest. Vexation, failure, and disappointment stare us in the face on every side. But there's hope, for Jesus gives rest to the weary soul who comes to him by faith. It's not rest in sin. It is rest from sin. It is not rest from trouble, but rest in trouble. There is rest from the terror of sin, because the Lord gives you peace of mind, a peace that passes all understanding. And there's rest from the power of sin, for the Lord gives us strength to overcome sin in our lives. Oh, there is a sweet and a blessed rest. I was just looking at it earlier tonight in Hebrews chapter 4, where the writer speaks here in verse 9, how that there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Oh, my friends in this meeting, learn this. Please learn this. Only Jesus can give you rest, true rest for your soul. Have you ever try to comfort a troubled heart? It's beyond our power, isn't it? There's only a certain distance that we can go. Only Jesus can really comfort. Rest is not found in mere ceremonial observances. It's found in Christ and in him alone. Both of the Wesleys and the great Whitfield fell for a time into the same mistake. In their endeavor to obtain peace of conscience, in addition to attending to every ordinary service of the church, they received the sacrament every Sunday. They fasted every Wednesday and Friday. They retired regularly every morning and evening for meditation and prayer. They wore the coarsest garments. They partook of the coarsest food. They visited the sick. They taught the ignorant. They ministered to the wants of the needy. And that he might have more to give away, John Wesley, even for a time, went barefooted. And yet with all this, they did not obtain peace, that peace for which their souls craved. Because you see, the peace that we need, the rest that we need, is not found in what we do. Now, many of these things that they did were good. And as Christians, we ought to do them. But that's not where we find rest. We find rest alone in Jesus Christ. Is there some weary, burdened sinner here tonight? And you feel your guilt and your sin? Is there some pleasure seeker who cries with the wisest and weariest of worldlings? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Have you a spiritual burden? Well then, my friends, you need deliverance from the guilt and the power of sin. Have you tried the world? Have you tried self? Have you tried sin? Will you not listen, my friends, to Jesus tonight? He says, come unto me. Come now, without delay. Come in haste before it is too late. Come repenting, turning from your sin. Come believing. Come just as you are. Just as you are. Remembering this hymn that we've mentioned already at the beginning of our message tonight of Charlotte Elliott's, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Are you saying in your heart tonight, in the words of the hymn writer, O Lamb of God, I come. Will you not come tonight? For Jesus says, I will give you rest. It is the earnest prayer of our heart that you will come to the Savior in the midst of this turbulent world where there is trouble on every side and there is no rest to be found anywhere else but in the person of Christ. You need to come to Christ. You need to come to the Savior. May you obey the text. May you obey this entreaty. And may you come. Let us bow together before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and gracious Father, we thank thee for your dear Son. We thank thee for all that he came to do, and we praise thee for all that he came to say. And Lord, surely one of the most precious things that he ever said is contained in this verse of Scripture tonight. We thank thee that he gives this invitation to those that are weary and heavy laden. I pray that sinners will feel their guilt and their sin, and that they will hear the gracious words of Christ as he bids them to come to him that they might have rest, and that they will obey it and even come tonight. Speak in this meeting. Speak to those that are listening in. And glorify our dear Savior tonight in the saving of precious souls. Hear this, our cry, for Jesus' sake and for his eternal glory. Amen and amen. We're going to sing together our closing hymn. It's advertised, and it is the one that we thought about, 288, but we'll put one onto that, and we will sing Charlotte Elliott's hymn tonight, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. That thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. We'll sing that opening verse together with verse 2, Just As I Am and Waiting Not. And also verse 5, Just As I Am, Thou Wilt Receive. And verse 6, Just As I Am, Thy Love Unknown. So that's verses 1, 2, 4, or 5 and 6 rather.
First two verses, leaving out two verses, and then singing the next two, making verse 6 the final. Let's stand and sing. Love to sing these words, and I think many of us, most of us, can look back to many gospel meetings and missions that we've sat in, and at the end of the service this hymn was sung by way of appeal to those that had listened to the gospel, and souls were pleaded over to come to Christ, to come just the way they were. It is our prayer tonight that you will receive the Savior, that you will come to Him and know Him as your Redeemer tonight. We thank Thee, gracious God, for the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. We thank Thee for that great cry of John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And Lord, we know that as He bids us to come, the response of our heart ought to be, "O Lamb of God, I come." Break barriers down. Remove cherished sin. Defeat the devil. Break the power that holds sinners in a vice of sin. Set them free, Lord. Save them by your grace. May they come this very night. Dismiss us now in your fear and in your love. Bless us as we discuss the mission, and bless the tea that has been provided also to our bodily needs. May we know the continued abiding presence of the Savior, because we ask all things in His name. Amen and amen.